Wednesday, September 12th, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly. I'm coming to you from the Mile High City right here in Denver, Colorado. And we are back again for another day of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Not sure if you realize this, but today, September 12th, is National Video Game Day. Now, I swear, I promise you, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go all old man, back in my day, you just stay off my lawn, you young whippersnappers. I swear I don't want to do that. I'm not. But I'm telling you this. If you are under the age of, what, 25 probably? Something like that. You just don't know the struggle of sports video games. You really don't. I mean, you look at the games that are out today. If you're playing sports games, maybe it's Madden. Maybe it's, I don't know, NBA 2K or The Show or something like that. And they are so slick and so realistic that they look more like simulations than like video games. I mean, pro players, like actual pro players, play those games. And they like argue and complain about the ratings in them. I've heard quarterbacks even sometimes using some of those games as simulation practice. Lot of changes that have been made in the world of sports video games. But let me tell you this. That's not how video games were when I was a little kid. I'll promise you that. We had horrible video games back in the day. And you know, football games were especially bad. Because when those games first started coming out, you did not have quality games. There was nothing slick about them. They were old, ancient, horrible games. We had like Atari 2600 football, which was basically 3-on-3 on this little green square, and you couldn't do anything. You couldn't even figure out what your little guys were doing there. You couldn't pass. You didn't really see a ball. You just kind of ran and tried not to run into each other. And it was two-player. You couldn't play by yourself. So, yeah, not great back in those days. It looked a lot like Minecraft today, without the slick graphics. If you've seen Minecraft, maybe you have. Without those great graphics that look horrible and pixelated, yeah, it looked like that, only not quite as good. Then, following the whole Atari thing, you had Intellivision football, which it was starting to get a little bit better, but the gameplay was so incredibly slow. Every play took seriously like 2 or 3 minutes. Was the longest, slowest game you had ever played. Yeah, you remember that? You hear that? You remember that? I totally remember that. It was awful. And at the time, we thought it was amazing. And based off of that Intellivision model, we got the next greatest football game coming out. We got Tecmo Bowl. Now, Tecmo Bowl was personally my favorite for a long time. I loved Tecmo Bowl. There were a couple of glitches with Tecmo Bowl if you played it at all, and you might not have. But if you did, there were certain players you could not stop. If you faced the Raiders, as I often did playing as my beloved Denver Broncos, you couldn't tackle Bo Jackson. It didn't matter what you did. You could have 5 guys on him. He would blast through every single one of them. But if you worked hard enough and you applied yourself, you could eventually take your favorite team, go win the Super Bowl, and pretend like, I don't know, it happened for real. Then at the end of the season, you would get like this little 5-second trophy presentation. And you're like, that's it? That's all? Shouldn't I get something else? I feel like I should get more of a celebration than that. No, that's it. Finally, like maybe in the early, mid-90s, we graduated to Madden on Sega Genesis.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
And I'm telling you right now, that completely blew our minds. This was actually 11-on-11 football. Now, no, the gameplay was not great. The players basically looked like little, I don't know, vacuum cleaners or something. But the game had come a long way from what we had started with back in the day.
touchdown.
So today, on National Video Game Day, when you go to play maybe Madden, or you go to play NBA 2K, or you go to play the show, or whatever, and half the time you're not even playing them on a video console, you're playing them on your phone as you're sitting there, you just remember this. You remember your forefathers and the countless hours of horrible sports video games with terrible graphics and terrible sound, and you remember how the previous generation would play these stupid games despite the fact that they looked bad and they sounded bad and they played bad and they were glitchy and they were stupid and they didn't look like anything resembling sports. They were just these odd images that you tried to maneuver around the screen. And the worst part about it was they would release a new version every year and nothing would really change. And if you were a sports junkie, you'd be like, well, I don't know, I'm going to go get it again, because that's just what you do at this time of year. You go buy the new Madden. Oh, nothing's changed. Maybe one player changed teams. That's about it. But we did it. And we did it again and again. And why did we do it? We did it for this younger generation to play their games on their phones and have a much, much better experience than we ever did. You remember that today. You remember the sacrifices that our generation made for you in video games. Today on National Video Game Day, remember the horrible games that we used to have in sports. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe let us know what your favorite sports video game was. I'd love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are @dailydosports. Or maybe you have some feedback for the show. Maybe you've got a suggestion. Maybe you need some advice. Maybe you have a question that you would like us to cover. Feel free to reach out. We would love to hear from you. Hey, today on the show, we will, of course, be taking a look at a few of the top stories coming out in the world of sports. And we just might have to get to our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings.
Hump Day!
I know we haven't done those in a little while. We've been getting ready for the football season. Well, the football season is here. And you never know what we might be ranking this week. But I'll be honest, when I was putting that together, I was a little bit surprised by what I saw. Going to be getting to that a little bit later in the show. But first off, we did get some news yesterday that it kind of bummed me out. It's in college football. And it seems to happen every year, but it's still not good, because with Hurricane Florence approaching the Carolinas, the West Virginia versus North Carolina State game and the Central Florida versus North Carolina games that were scheduled for Saturday have been canceled. In a statement, University of North Carolina Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham called it the sensible decision at this time. You know, Florence's projected path, they say the storm is going to plow right through North Carolina. Now, I don't really care about North Carolina getting blown out by Central Florida. That's not the game that I was interested in at all. But I was interested in seeing Will Grier and West Virginia facing Ryan Finley and North Carolina State. That might have been a fun game. You know, Grier is getting a ton of hype, and deservedly so. He is one of the top quarterbacks in the country. But Finley has been throwing for nearly 400 yards a game so far. The problem is he's been doing it against nobodies, because North Carolina State has played James Madison and Georgia State. So I kind of wanted to see North Carolina State actually play a decent team. Grier versus Finley might have been a fun matchup, and now it looks like that's not going to happen. That could end up hurting West Virginia a little bit later down the stretch if they were looking at strength of schedule, because NC State, I think they'll be okay. I don't think they'll be great, but it's an ACC team, and I think they'll be okay this year. Darn Hurricanes. Hey, I hope everyone out there stays safe, but I am going to definitely be missing that game. Switching over to the NFL, the Pittsburgh Steelers are getting ready for their home game on Sunday. They'll be facing the Kansas City Chiefs, but they aren't healthy, because two of the Steelers' best players, they say, are dealing with injuries. Most notably, their quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, who they say is going to be limited in practice this week with an elbow issue. Also said All-Pro guard David DeCastro has a fracture in one of his hands. Roethlisberger typically gets to rest early in the week. They allow some reps for younger quarterbacks, and then he'll start to play as they get later in the week. But you know, Roethlisberger was 23 of 41 for 335 yards. He had a touchdown and three interceptions in that overtime tie with the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. He also had three sack fumbles and four fumbles total. So here's my question. when did Ben get hurt? Because I watched that game. He was not very good. Did he get hurt prior to that game? And we didn't know about it. I know right now we are hearing, hey, Big Ben's hurt. He's hurt. He's hurt. Okay, but was he hurt already? Because it sure seemed like it. Didn't seem like he was playing very good on Sunday. How long has he been injured? Has this elbow been bothering him for a long time? Remember all of that, I don't know, maybe I should retire talk. What if Ben Roethlisberger was actually being honest? I don't know. Come on, Ben. Step up. Remember, I picked the Steelers last week to go to the Super Bowl. And remember, this is all about me. You better step up and start playing. I need you to kind of do some things against Kansas City this next week. Come on, Roethlisberger. Step up. Hey, coming back, got one more news story for you. But, you know, we need to get to our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings because football is now underway. And we want to take a look at the top teams that are out there. We're going to do that when we get back. One more story coming out in the world of breaking news that I thought was interesting. And that is that the New England Patriots are going to continue to try a number of different options at their shorthanded wide receiver position. They agreed yesterday to contract terms with Corey Coleman and Benny Fowler. The Patriots, of course, we know they've had a hard time getting any wide receivers. They're trying to bide their time until Julian Edelman returns from that 4-game suspension. Right now, Chris Hogan and Philip Dorsett are their top wide receivers. They've got Cordarrelle Patterson as the number 3 option. But think back to what the Patriots have been going through here lately. They have waived wide receiver Chad Hansen. They have released Kenny Britt, Jordan Matthews, Malcolm Mitchell, Eric Decker, I guess retired because he was going to get cut. All those guys didn't pan out. Now, Corey Coleman entered the NFL as a 2016 first round draft choice. Remember, he was with the Cleveland Browns. Of course, he never did anything. He was complaining that they had demoted him. Like later that day, the Browns shipped him off to Buffalo for a 7th round pick. But he didn't make Buffalo's 53-man roster. That makes me wonder if he just didn't want to play. So you're bringing in a guy that probably has some issues with his game and also probably has a lot of issues with his head. Yeah, that probably will work out. And then Benny Fowler, he spent his first 4 years of his NFL career with the Denver Broncos as a backup, had a couple of big moments. Biggest problem with Fowler, he tended to drop balls and he tended to fumble balls. That will not go over well with Bill Belichick. I could see him making the roster and contributing, but here's the more interesting thing to me. Corey Coleman, Benny Fowler, they both have jobs right now. Dez Bryant still doesn't have a job. What does that tell all of us? I mean, Bill Belichick would rather deal with Corey Coleman than Dez Bryant? NFL teams clearly think the game has passed Dez Bryant by. I know there was a lot of pushback. How would they cut him? Why would they cut him? When is the team going to sign him? When the New England Patriots, who are desperate for wide receivers right now, still aren't looking at Dez Bryant? Yeah, there's more to the story than we're getting. Because it looks to me like everyone is looking at Dez and saying, yeah, you can't play anymore. I've got news for you. I know you think you can. You can't play anymore. Have to keep an eye on the New England Patriots wide receiver situation. Now, before we get to our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings, I do have a message that we received on Twitter last week. I told you that I received some messages here and there. And I had a Twitter message that I did want to get to. This was from JCG3, whatever that is. And here's the message that I got. Now, again, I got this last week, but I wanted to bring it on and read it today. Here's what it says. Daily Dose, I love new Denver Broncos running back Philip Lindsay, but he can't wear number 30. Come on, man. So if you're not familiar with this story, the Broncos signed undrafted free agent running back Philip Lindsay. He had played his career up at the University of Colorado in Boulder. And in the preseason, he had worn number 2. He had been very, very impressive in the preseason. He's a little guy. He's only like 5'8", 5'9", like 180 pounds, but he is quick. He is explosive. He doesn't mind running between the tackles. He can contribute on special teams. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He came in and he made the team. And if you saw Denver play their opener on Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks, hey, Lindsay was their best running back. No question about that. I don't know how he's going to hold up with his size, but he is a very shifty little runner. So after the preseason and wearing number 2, they made him get into, you know, a real number. And the Broncos gave him number 30, the former number of Denver Bronco great Terrell Davis. And I guess Lindsey was actually very respectful of TD. He's a Denver kid. He gets it. He actually called Terrell Davis and said, hey, would you be okay with me wearing 30? Of course, Terrell, he's always been a pretty classy guy. He said, yeah, that's fine. Even though the number is not retired, TD said, that's fine. But the question I have, and we've talked about it here on The Dose before, what is our fascination with retiring numbers in sports? Like, fans want to retire every single number ever. And it is so strange to me. And like I said, I know we've talked about it before, but why do we feel like numbers are somehow sacred? They aren't. I've got news for you. If it were up to me, I would never retire a single number ever. I wouldn't retire anything. You only have so many numbers. I mean, you have what, 100 numbers? And that's if you use zero or double zero, and no one does that. But it is okay to have people wear the same number. That's not a bad thing. I mean, think about this. You can even have a great player. You can even have multiple great players wear the same number. You know, Jack Tatum wore number 32 with the Oakland Raiders. Had a phenomenal career. And I know a lot of knocks on whether or not he was dirty or whatever. He was a huge hitting safety, one of the all-time greats in Raiders history. You know who else wore number 32 in Oakland? Yeah, Marcus Allen. Those are both great players. It's okay. Hey, you look back and you say number 32, that is one of the great numbers in Oakland Raiders history. That's all right. If the next guy comes out and he takes that number, hey, you better bring it. I'm not retiring that number. I want to find that next special guy to wear that number. I don't understand the thinking. If someone in the Chicago Bulls franchise would like to wear 23, hey, go ahead. Understand the pressure is on, but go ahead. If the Denver Broncos go draft a new young stud quarterback and he says, hey, I want to wear number 7, it's not going to say Elway on the back of it. It's just going to have a 7 on it. But yeah, own it. And you better go do something with it. You better represent the number. But retiring a number completely from existence? No, I don't need that. Besides, like I said, there are only so many numbers that we can even use. And if you use up all the good ones and you start retiring all the good ones, what are you left with? Because think about, like right now, think about if you were playing some sort of athletic event and you were allowed to pick your number. What number are you picking? You're picking one of the cool numbers, aren't you? I mean, there are certain numbers. I don't know why. They're just a little bit cooler. If you're playing football, you want 12. Maybe a 22 or a 24. Maybe a 32 or a 34 or a 44. I don't want like 74. I don't want like 73. I don't want those numbers. I don't want 66. I understand there have probably been some good players that have worn 97, but I don't want it. I can't retire all my good numbers. Otherwise, we're out there wearing a bunch of crappy numbers that no one wants to see you in. Stop with the, I don't approve of this guy wearing this number. You know, so-and-so used to wear this number. I don't care. I really don't. No number should be retired ever. Stop retiring numbers. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Okay, now on Wednesday, and like I said, we haven't done it in a while, but we do like to take a look at something current, maybe get some stats, maybe get some actual numbers involved, maybe look at something very, very specific and make a ranking. It's not necessarily my opinion. It's a ranking that we can base it on something. And so today, what I wanted to do with our first full week of football now in the books, I wanted to take a look and see right now, who are the top teams in the NFL and who are the top teams in college football? And, you know, I thought about we could look at some power rankings. I could make up my own power rankings, obviously. We've done that before, and we may continue to do that again, but I wanted to go in a little bit different direction today. Because after week one in the NFL, I thought it might be interesting to take a look and see right now, who does Las Vegas favor? We know it is rare that Vegas completely misses the boat on something. If you want a good predictor of what's going to happen, yeah, Vegas usually nails it. They're usually the smartest people. I've always said, I think it would make way more sense in doing all the college bowls and the polls and the BCS and who gets in. Just let Las Vegas pick it, because Vegas doesn't miss very often. So today, on our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings,
Hump Day,
we are going to take a look at the NFL and college football power rankings. Right now, we're going to look at the top five teams in the NFL, courtesy of Oddshark in Las Vegas. Who could the top five teams be? Starting off at number five. And if I'm being completely transparent, I had to check this two or three times because I don't understand it. I'm just telling you what it is. Right now, the fifth best team in the NFL, according to Oddshark in Las Vegas, is the New Orleans Saints. Really? They come in with a 14.66 rating, according to Oddshark. They just got beat 48-40 by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How in the world are the Saints that high? But I'll tell you why. Because I know they lost that opener. But I think people are looking for the Saints. Hey, they're going to respond. They're going to get better. That defense is going to get better. It was just that first week. And, you know, coming out of the preseason, I know we sit there and we say, well, they had four preseason games. How many times do we actually see the starters play together, all play for any significant amount of time in the preseason? Never. It doesn't happen. So you look at these first three or four games, you can almost take them as preseason games. I think the Saints will improve. The defense in New Orleans is always going to scare me under Sean Payton, because that's just how they operate. But I think they will get a little bit better. And on the other side, we know they've got that running game. They've got Drew Brees. We know they can score some points. Let's see if that defense comes around. It looks like Vegas is betting on it to come around. Coming in at number four, the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, coming in with a 15.76 rating. Now, Philadelphia did beat the Atlanta Falcons on that opening night last Thursday, but we saw them struggle offensively behind Nick Foles. Again, I think Vegas is looking at the Eagles and saying, hey, I know Nick Foles is there. Eventually, Carson Wentz should be back. Meanwhile, that defense is one of the best in the league. As a result, they still get that number four ranking. Coming in at number three was a team that surprised me a little bit, because yes, they had a huge week in week one, but they beat the Buffalo Bills. But hey, Vegas loves it. They have the Baltimore Ravens as the number three team right now in the NFL with a 17.60 ranking. I guess they were super impressed by a blowout of the Buffalo Bills. I'm not. I want to see a little bit more of the Baltimore Ravens. Yes, I like their defense. I like their secondary a lot. But I still have some questions about Joe Flacco. I'm always going to have questions about Joe Flacco. I'm not sure the Baltimore Ravens are worthy of that number three spot, but that is where Vegas has them right now. Moving up to number two, we have, who else? The New England Patriots. Yes, they keep losing people. And yes, they can't find any wide receivers, but as long as they've got Tom Brady, as long as they've got Rob Gronkowski, and as long as they have Bill Belichick, we know the Patriots are at least going to be in the thick of it. And once again, they are right here. They come in with an 18.41 ranking. That puts them at number two. So who is the number one team right now, according to Oddshark in Vegas? I thought it might be the Rams. After what they did to the Raiders on Monday night, hey, started a little bit slow, had to get a couple of stops, and all of a sudden they got rolling. They look to me like they might be the nastiest team in the NFL. That's not who Vegas has. Right now, Las Vegas has the Minnesota Vikings sitting at number one with a 20.90 ranking, and maybe they're looking at the competition that they faced, because the Minnesota Vikings did beat the San Francisco 49ers in week one. I know a lot of people were big on the Niners. I want to kind of wait and see on the Niners. I think they'll be okay, but they've still got a lot of flaws with that team. But Vegas apparently appreciated that win quite a bit. Hey, coming back, we are going to be bringing you an extended version of our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings.
Hump Day!
We are going to switch over to the college game. Who are the toughest teams out there right now, at least according to Las Vegas? We're going to let you know right after this. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. September's Loot Crate theme is now out, and it is called Invaders. Forget the flying saucers. They're already here, and it may already be too late. Embrace your new overlords with exclusive new gear featuring some of our favorite alien invaders. September's Loot Crate theme, features items from Alien, The Predator, The X-Files, and Venom. But trust me, if none of those franchises appeal to you, make sure that you do stop by Loot Crate, because you are going to find just about anything you could possibly think of over there. Of course, the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just make sure that you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for listening to the Daily Dose each and every day. So let's switch over to the world of college football. Who does Las Vegas say are the toughest teams right now in the NCAA? Now, they've had 2 weeks, a couple of teams have even played 3 weeks, but who are the top five teams right now in the country, according to Las Vegas Oddshark? And understand, we haven't seen a ton of huge matchups yet. A number of these teams, they're still going to get tested. We haven't seen any top teams get upset just yet. That could change very shortly. Let's take a look at the top five teams right now, according to Vegas. Coming in right now at number five with a 34.67 ranking are the Georgia Bulldogs. You know, even though it's just early September, doesn't it kind of seem like we can already just give the SEC East to Georgia? Because Florida is losing to Kentucky. Who else do you have? Kentucky going to challenge? I guess Missouri, you have to give them a shot. But Georgia looks like the class of the division. They went and blew out South Carolina in Columbia. Georgia comes in at number five. Moving on to number four, and this one surprised me. Surprised me a lot. Because with a 38.08 rating, we have the number one team in all the polls, but Vegas likes them a little bit less than three other teams that are ahead of them. Because the Alabama Crimson Tide, while they look like the best team, they haven't played anyone yet. And one thing I will throw out there about Alabama right now, that Alabama defense has shown some weaknesses. The problem is that the teams they have faced, Louisville and Arkansas State, they haven't been good enough to take advantage of it. That could change very soon. Still hard for me to believe anyone would be favored over Alabama right now. But right now, Vegas says Alabama is the number four team. Moving on to number three, we have quarterback Dwayne Haskins and his backup Tate Martell combining right now to go 30 for 33 for 354 yards and 5 touchdowns for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Now, the Buckeyes have played Oregon State and Rutgers so far. Could TCU this weekend give them a tougher test? They should. And remember, Ohio State will be playing this game without head coach Urban Meyer, who is serving that suspension for... never mind. He's not suspended at all. Why do they keep saying he's suspended? He's not suspended. He's still coaching. He just goes and sits probably in the press box or something for the actual game. Yeah, Ohio State comes in at number three. Moving on to our top two teams in the nation, according to Vegas. Again, these two surprised me a little bit, but coming in at number two, we saw this team win a game in some mud against a rival, and they went out and kind of rubbed it in their face because Penn State went out and blew out Pitt. Running back Miles Sanders had a career-high 118 rushing yards, and Trace McSorley threw two touchdowns. I like Penn State a lot. I worry about that defense. In that Pitt game, they gave up over 200 yards. I'm not quite as sold on Penn State just yet. I think they're very good, and I love Trace McSorley. I'm not sure they're the number two team in the country, but that's what Oddshark has them at right now. So who could be number one in the country right now, according to Vegas? According to our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings?
Hump Day!
Again, another team we kind of forget about sometimes, especially when they lose a quarterback and he gets taken with the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. But hey, Kyler Murray has stepped in at Oklahoma and he is putting up huge numbers. He lit up UCLA this weekend for over 300 yards. He even ran for another 70. Now, we did talk about the Sooners did lose running back Rodney Anderson, who is out for the season with that knee injury. But here is the reason that I think Vegas likes Oklahoma at least right now. Because Kyler Murray, that offense, still very, very good. But it's not just on offense. The Oklahoma defense is also doing some very good things. Against UCLA, Oklahoma had 6 sacks and 12 tackles for loss. It is a very, very aggressive defense. And it is a defense that I don't think they have to completely hide. I think Oklahoma is capable at times of depending on their defense. And you know what? If their defense isn't good enough, Kyler Murray and that offense probably is. The Oklahoma Sooners are going to be very, very tough in that Big 12, but also getting into that national playoff picture. Oklahoma Sooners right now the top team in college football. Hey, tomorrow on the Daily Dose, we will, of course, be taking a look at the latest and greatest in the world of breaking sports news. And, you know, we might have to look at a college football conference that really needs to step up and get some things done this weekend and over the next week or two. They've got their work cut out for them. Plus, we may have another listener email we need to address. Got asked one thing that was kind of interesting. Going to have an answer for you on that tomorrow. And as usual on Thursday, we will get back to having our Daily Dose overreactions of the week. Trust me, with the NFL going, we have a million of those going right now. Hey, I have to say thank you all so much for listening to and for sharing the show. Thank you for the emails, the texts, and the tweets. If you would like to contact us, maybe you have a question for us, feel free to send that over, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. We would love to hear from you. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Wednesday.